This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Good evening and welcome to week 12 of season 2 of the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast. With me tonight, John.
Hello.
And I'm Tim,
your
regular rugby correspondent. Rob is, I don't know, somewhere down the coast, I think.
Somewhere down the coast. And Nick the Pig has wandered off to parts, possibly Dubbo.
Yeah, we don't know where he is, so you're just going to get expert commentary from John and myself this evening.
And it'll probably be a quick enough one as we shuffle through the results without arguing all the time.
That's right.
Okay, how are the tipping comp standings?
Actually, don't know. Rob, who normally does our running sheets, is absentia and didn't actually record anything. I do know, however, that I had a massive comeback through some inspired tips of the Reds.
Yep.
Which put me, I think, 6 points this week. I cleared everybody else and reeled you back into the pack, John.
Well, I had quite an ordinary week, so...
You had four.
A mere four. Mind you, tipping four a week every week has stood me in good stead throughout the season.
Unlike my ones and twos at the end of the season. Nonetheless, we don't really care what the other guy's got, because, you know...
That don't really matter, no. Let's go through the games. Crusaders 23, Hurricanes 13 in Christchurch. Eminently predictable.
Yeah, no real surprises. The interesting thing that you could actually see the game this time around.
No fog. Right.
But
I think that was unusual last year.
Yeah. The Hurricanes really put it to the Crusaders and rattled them for probably long periods of the game. And I think the scoreline, I guess, overall reflected a better outcome for the Crusaders than they put over more tries. But probably much closer than the scoreline might have otherwise predicted.
Okay, and I mean, Hurricanes have just been workmanlike at best this season.
Yeah, I think
a bit like the Stormers, who we'll get to later. They win one, they lose one.
I mean, this game was probably more interesting for them individual matchups for All Black selection than perhaps any interest that it may have had across the ditch over here. You know, Jerry Collins sustaining a bit of a neck injury early in the second half.
Yeah, no, that's big news. He had to be carried off the field.
Yeah, he did, but it all seems okay. He's actually looking forward to playing against the Highlanders this week, which will be interesting.
That'll test his neck out.
Interesting to see whether his medicos let him on the pitch. But, yeah, I mean, a fairly innocent-looking hit, which just put his neck out the wrong way and, you know, went down like a...
It happens to the hardest often, doesn't it?
It does, and Jerry Collins certainly is one of those. But, I mean, other matchups there, Tui Lee versus Soloalo, you know, it was very close, a couple of wins as well. Ma'anonu probably, coming to his true colours yet again and being a bit just bashy. I think we've probably seen the last of Ma'anonu in the All Blacks for quite some time.
Bashy, you mean just running straight into the line, getting
it's just a dirty player.
To a number eight.
You know, probably a Butch James of old.
No arms
and tackles.
So thuggish tackling.
Very thuggish kind of play. I think there's probably elements where, that's required. It gets you a certain physical intimidation on the field.
Is he missing Tana, sort of keeping him on the straight and narrow?
I think so. Conrad Smith, while he's a very intelligent player, isn't the same kind of player that Tana Munger is.
I think there's also a tribal element there in terms of telling someone like Ma'anonu to pull his head in.
Yeah, probably. We'll never know, mate.
Unless you've got the right tattoos in the right places, I don't think you can have the same respect there.
We'll never know. Good game for the Brumbies.
You think?
Sneaking in against the Force at the death.
Yeah, it was an awful game, though. I mean, great deal of suspense in that last 5 minutes.
I think for a lot of the game, I was sitting on the edge of my seat.
Well, it was so tense and close.
Yeah.
But I think the Brumbies definitely decided they didn't need their A game to win this, and they would keep it hidden from prying eyes. This might be the impression I got.
Yeah, possibly. I thought the Force weren't great, but they did enough to stop the Brumbies from whatever the Brumbies were trying to do or not trying to do from piling on hundreds of points.
Well, the Brumbies definitely weren't following Laurie Fisher's game plan. He made that very clear.
It wouldn't have seemed so, but for the Force, Henjak and Gitto returning to home soil
played quite well.
Yeah, they did, and you can see the why the Force have done so well with that combination at half and 5-8. For the season for the Force.
Now, Gino and Larkin had a bit of a stink.
They did.
Yeah.
I think that's never normally given a push and shove.
And there was an odd little incident with George Gregan getting in a fight as well, but the touch judge chose not to do anything about it.
Yeah, I can't recall who that was.
Which I thought it was very odd to see any situation where a halfback's in a scrap with a forward and being left to basically get the living daylights punched out him, although George seemed to be doing most of it.
Oh, he was having a great time.
Most of the game.
It was probably a good opportunity for George again to step up and say, right, you know, I'm playing this as a local derby, I'm going to prove that I'm the better halfback choice.
Yeah.
And I think he did in this one. I think, you know, you look at Henjak getting the nod for a Wallabies place if you were looking towards the future. But otherwise, Gregan played a much better game.
World Cup, yeah, you play the best you've got.
Yeah.
I think Henjak in the squad, or would you take Cordingley if he ever gets fit?
No, bugger that. Why do you keep picking players that are injured? And we talked about it last week. You know, you've got to pick the guys that are playing in form. You can't just pick the guys who are, you know, because they were in the squad previously
and haven't played any
rugby at all.
So Henjak would be your backup?
I'll probably pick Henjak, yeah.
Even after his previous indiscretions on tour?
Even after his previous indiscretions. I think those sorts of things really teach a player some maturity when they're, you know, disciplined quite publicly like that. And so,
First player to be sent home from Wallaby tour since, what was it, 1930-something?
Shape up, or, you know, we're not going to see you yet.
Well,
and you know, you don't get second chances. No, okay, I mean,
you get second and third chances.
So I think, you know, he's probably one of the players there. Great games from Adam Walsh Harrison in the second row.
Mm-hmm. I thought Hoyles had a blinder as well.
Hoyles was a bit quiet for me. I didn't see an arch. Great defensively, but you know, you normally expect more of him in offense. And I think he and Scotty Farber probably cancelled each other out.
Yeah, Farber got sin-binned. In fact, there were two forced sin-binnings, which really makes the scoreline much worse for the Brumbies. They really should.
Yeah, lucky not to have three sin-binnings.
There was
one tackle on.
There really are limits to what
on the Brumbies place. Huh? It was on Larkham by young Pocock.
Yeah,
was definitely a deliberate lift and spear tackle, and that under the rule book. Is an automatic binning.
Yeah, look, I
don't know how that missed the.
I can understand that any referee having sin bin two players in a game.
It shouldn't matter, but it is going to matter.
They're certainly going to use a lot more discretion before sending a third man off, because at the end of the day, there's a hell of a lot of money on the games, and you make it a complete no contest.
That's up to the players.
That should be up to the players, you'd think. But
you know, look at Johnny Tuaki, another great game from him, and really. Really busting at 9-figure Johnny.
Yeah, now you see, I was talking to Aki up, and I reckon if he keeps playing like that, what he's done is he's stopped the coughing the ball up bit of his game. Charging running game.
Yes.
Yeah. That was definitely holding him back, and now that he's moved beyond that, he's very handy, and I think he's still a match fit for the Australian number 8.
He's probably got a lot to do with Palu, whose first game back from injury last week was a great one as well.
But
two very similar players are good at breaking the game line.
Yeah.
Being close to the ruts.
Look, Australian rugby administrators aren't happy unless there's a gigantic islander running out of number 8.
Which you cause, I think. And the other player to have a great game was Mark Durant. And probably,
again
pushed a good claim for a wing spot.
A Wallaby wing spot. Yeah.
There's a bit of politics in there.
There's no better winger in Australia at the moment.
No.
Gerard single-handedly made an awful lot of breaks in the game. And partly the Brumbies game suits that they actually put the ball in the winger's hands, which is always handy if your wingers want to do anything. I thought Gerard had a great game and kicked winning points.
Under pressure, which we haven't seen from the Waratahs for a while.
And not the easiest kick in the world either. I mean, it wasn't horrendously far out or horrendously out wide, but it was far out and it was wide of the post.
And it was, you know, with 30 seconds left to go in the game.
There was no more game to be had.
That's right. He was really aggressive on the kickoff to take the catch on a Brumbies kickoff to get that ball.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable bit of play.
So good on you, Marky. Thanks for the win, mate.
That's an interesting tactic to see if we see any more of that for trying to regather off a short kickoff. Normally you do that with a forward, but
A Stirling Morlock.
Who's meant to be coming back this week? But we'll get to that in the week ahead.
Quickly, Reds cheaters.
It's a big surprise because the Reds won.
Mate, I tipped it. I'm not surprised at all.
I don't tip it, but it's in general.
Actually, I'm surprised. good game for the Reds. Bit of a show-off for Ben Sheehan from last game. He's going to play at Ballymore.
He's been playing in the twilight of his own career for the last, 4 years,
but,
though?
He picked up a 70-metre intercept try.
Yeah,
not bad.
So he's still got
a little bit of pace and still not enough now to lead the game and pick up the intercept. So,
yeah.
Good work from Sheehan.
If he played any other position at wing, you'd have to wonder if there still wasn't a place from higher up. But I think there's too much competition there for a guy so injury prone and so
look, good performance. I think the Cheetahs, although they started the season really well, have really dropped off, which is
been on a long tour.
Unfortunate for them, but I think they'll take a lot out of this experience for next season.
Yeah, I think the South Africans need to rethink their long tour policy. I think they'd be better doing a tour of Australia, play some home games, tour overseas. I mean, you need to sort out your overseas flights, but the results this season don't suggest that the first game of the tour is that hard with flights. So.
They probably pay a bit more for it, but that's
not a handle there at this level.
What's a few thousand dollars at this level?
Yeah.
Let's have a song.
Yep. What do we got?
This is Sanji De Silva from Insatiable Banalities, called Juliet.
Letter arrived yesterday. Our girl must have come out here on a slower train, 'cause it's asking me where I was. Yes, and how I've been, when I know that you have stopped caring, baby. Saying it's best that I forget. There's just no point in carrying these regrets. Well, lady, you know I've tried my very best, and I am still beneath your window, Juliet. Far soul gathers around my feet. I can see that light of your room, but it's too far to reach. I'm a lady you always made out like you had something more to give. Even when you saw me waiting, she sent me away, but I only got so far as her gate. I wasn't playing games, child, I just needed time to reflect. Anyway, if you change your mind, you haven't lost me yet. I am still beneath your window, Juliet. Hello, silk dress you used to wear, and your ivory comb laced with long black hair. Your wretched mobile phone, which always seemed lame, right when the love was flowing through my body. Left on the table was that ring which you left. It gets me thinking about all the other signs I missed. Oh, but lady, you were the only part that fit. I am still beneath your window, Juliet.
Okay, that was Juliet's by Sanji De Silva from Insatiable Melodies. as we sit here and consider the feng shui of beer coaster placement. Let's move on to the Chiefs Sharks game in Hamilton. This was a bit of a cracker and quite a swinging game.
Cracking game. Just goes to show how good the Chiefs have been without much luck this season.
Yeah.
And you picked this one, even though, as you said last week, you didn't. Having picked Auckland against the Sharks, it didn't make a lot of sense to pick the Chiefs over the winning Sharks, but
The Chiefs have been playing exceedingly well this season, and are probably
John Gibbs is back as well, though.
Probably a real threat, but I don't think it was John A. Gibbs. I mean, they're getting a strong forward platform, but their ability to break the line out wide is just incredible. And, you know, their replacement halfback, who's coming for an injured Kelleher, is just, you know, 4 tries in 2 weeks.
From halfback.
And that's pretty unheard of.
Yeah. So is that the end of Kelleher's career at the Chiefs?
I don't think so. Not yet, but pretty handy replacement to have.
How long is Byron out for, do we know?
Oh, probably a couple of weeks with a broken nose, I would say. It's not the kind of thing you want to get next straight away.
He's got his porn star girlfriend to console himself with.
I don't think he's with her anymore.
Oh, they've broken up. That's tragic. Oh,
terrible.
Well.
Terrible.
Does that mean she's free?
She might be.
All right then.
Good performance by the Chiefs, and you know, another bonus point win for them. They're on 10. They've got 10 bonus points for the season,
which is
that's insane.
Two big win games.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, over anything else, and you look at the table where their standings are. And they're only winning. They've only won 4 games.
Yeah, but they
In fourth place.
Yeah. And 2 points is 2 wins and a draw.
And probably real contenders. They're playing the Crusaders in the last round, and you know, they've probably got a pretty good chance of knocking the Crusaders off.
Good chance of knocking the Crusaders off. Unfortunately, the Crusaders are now too far ahead to be considered to be brought down by
No, them. No, but it would consolidate their position, and they could even sneak into second place.
Yeah.
You know, with a couple of wins going, a couple of games going their way.
Well, we'll get to that later.
They've been really dangerous.
There's a lot of mobility in the table at the moment.
That's right. You know, Sharks probably showed a bit of bit of composure to try and come back and bring the game back to a fairly close position. And they were threatening the line at the death there as well, so they could have come away with a 1 point loss, which is you'd be pretty happy with.
Yeah.
Great. You know, the Sharks have done exceedingly well this season. If they'd knocked off the Chiefs, they would have been the only team in Super Rugby history to beat all 5 New Zealand teams in one season.
Wow.
So, you know, to come that close to it, it's a fair achievement for the Sharks.
Yeah. Well, the Sharks are having a cracking season, so it remains to be seen how well that goes. Let's move on, though. Now, this is a game everyone anticipated the result. No one anticipated the margin. Waratahs 25, Highlanders 26 in Sydney. Highlanders' season is pretty much already over, as is the Tars. So a bit of a pride game, a lot of pride on the show, I think.
Yeah, a couple of kicks either way in the first half. I think we went at half time close to half time at 6-5 or something. Good early try from the Highlanders, showing a full width of their game.
Yeah.
Not be able to kick. This is another one that has escaped the Waratahs. They could have won this game. You know, at the death, and they came
back.
They
keep finding exciting new ways to lose games. It's a bit like Dean Jones and his wicket.
It's not just this season. It's almost endemic in Waratah's rugby culture. But let's play really, really close and learn how to lose the game. You know, they lost a game against the Crusaders by missing an easy kick. They lost this game again by missing a kick.
Kick has traditionally been a strength for Waratah's rugby
and
in Australia.
You know, they lost a game a couple of years ago by
kicking a field goal.
So, what's with their kicking?
They won the game, they lost the competition.
I think you've got to question their decision-making ability under pressure. Fair enough, they're missing a couple of key leadership people in the squad.
Adam Fry's the captain who doesn't want to be the captain. He's on the record saying
other people have to step up. And I guess you saw it a bit more in this game where Rocky Olsen was the captain. Probably didn't see him as having a barnstorming game as much as he has in previous ones. But quite often I noticed Lottie Takiri, who was appointed vice captain for this game, even coming up to the scrum and giving the guys a G up and saying, come on guys, let's go.
You can't skip it from winning though, it's tasking too much.
You can't, but you know, it was good to see that for all his talk, that he's actually attempting to say, right, come on guys,
at least now that he's signed, he is committed to the team, whereas all through the first half of the season
I guess it's just a matter of the rest of the guys to start playing as a team and not playing as a group of individuals, which is one of our criticisms of the Waratahs for several years.
Yeah, and the other problem is far too inexperienced players shoehorned into it, hoping there'll be magic bullets when they should have been promoting
doing what the Crusaders have done for several years and pick competent players and yes, that make them work as a team.
Yeah. And Lord knows, in the Sydney rugby competition, there are plenty of competent players who could have been filling those positions. And on any given Sunday in club competition, we'll stamp all over the likes of Kirtley Bell.
That's right.
Because he's young.
Young and experienced, and, you know, he doesn't have the bulk around. I guess the Waratahs, you know, they're probably just playing for personal pride at this stage. You know, there's no question getting off the bottom of the table. Who gets the wooden spoon from them and the Reds is going to be interesting, but
it's interesting effect it's had in that the Brumbies are now re-signing players with ease that they would have been struggling to get back on the team if the Waratahs were having a strong season.
Yeah, there's been, you know, in the press, I guess, because what we get is Sydney press about, you know, how the Waratahs are playing and whether they should be sacking Ewan McKenzie and all sorts of stuff like this. And
McKenzie's a very good coach.
It's a poison chalice, coaching the Waratahs and all this sort of stuff. But I think a lot of it's got to do with just the politics of the position. Everyone looking out for their own interests. And they've got to get away from that. They've got to start playing as a team, trying to play as a decent unit.
Which is where McKenzie was taking them for the last two seasons, with a fair degree of success.
Yeah, and it showed in their results. This season they just seem to have taken a huge backward step. Mm. Okay, a couple of key injuries, but that's not the only thing.
Yeah.
They can't win the only thing.
Yeah, now let's move on. Lions 7, Bulls 31, thrash.
Yeah, well, I don't think there were too many surprises here. Bulls were on fire.
The margin, I thought the Lions would play better, especially at home.
Yeah, probably the margin was probably the only thing. Interesting to see that, you had two tries from Brian Habana, and he set up two others as well. Mm-hmm. So he was involved with all four of the Bulls' tries.
Habana has been very involved with the Bulls this year.
It's been our criticism of the Bulls that they've never used those guys out in the wing, and Habana's he's a bit of a freakish talent.
And bodes well for the box if the Bulls players have got used to actually utilising his talents.
That's right. Good performance, and they're well positioned to snatch that final four spot.
As his world plus dog.
Well, we spoke about it before we started the podcast.
Who's out of contention?
The Brumbies can win all the games with bonus points and still not get a finals position.
Yeah, on the other hand, there are teams ahead of them that could falter in a major way as well.
That's true. I'll tell those two losses early in the season for the Brumbies by 1 point, they're going to be telling.
That and the general lack of try scoring in some of the wins. Yeah. Let's move on though.
Stormers 33, Blues 20
in Cape Town.
Well, I did it again.
Now over on Keogh there was some discussion.
Stormers are like the South African Chiefs, aren't they? You never know what the hell they're going to do.
What are they going to do? They were joking on Keogh that the Stormers have been trying to spell out Luke Watson's initials in their results. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win.
they're all over the place.
Yeah. Competition front runners now lost two in a row to South African opposition, and in this case.
And they're playing the Bulls this week, so that's going to be like a close one.
What did I tip? Yes, I tipped the Bulls.
it's going to be interesting whether they can recompose themselves.
Two in a row, it's a slump. Front runners can't afford to lose.
Possibly, short week travelling to Cape Town. From New Zealand.
Yeah, and you wonder if the South African teams don't think they haven't figured out the Blues.
Yeah,
get in. Got to worry the All Blacks.
Get in there and battle them. It will be interesting to see how both teams go this week. Mm. I mean, you'd probably expect the Stormers to come away with another win as they're coming up against the Reds.
No, they're due for a loss.
I'm indeed due for a loss, and yet you tipped the Stormers.
It's the Reds. So we'll discuss that when we get to it, but I had to assess a team which is reliably losing one and winning one versus a team that's reliably losing all of them. So.
That's true. But, yeah, I think the Stormers are definitely turning into the Chiefs of South Africa. Can win any game on their day.
I'd say the Lions.
And, you just think, what the hell's going on with them?
It's been a very good season for South African teams.
Oh yeah, I think they'd be pretty chuffed as a South African rugby supporter.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty pleased.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yep. Anyway, let's go to another song. Next one is The Halls of Power by Sanji De Silva from the Insatiable Banalities podcast. We'll be back in just a minute.
Jackal and Hyde, they both reside on a stage with the curtain still drawn. They play their parts with no remorse and yell curses towards the stalls. And the audience, they sit with bated breath for the blood to start spilling from the stage. But no one moves to question the fools with power. Yes, critics, they write with fading pens that the battle is too close to call. While scholars scream that doomsday looms, but no one hears them ever. And although it is clear that some end is near, we don't wait to watch the curtain as it falls. Instead, with each vote, we simply fill the halls of power. Well, critics are false idols, they grow in stature. Oh, there's no substance to their forms. Whilst good men grieve, we can find no reprieve. Our souls are simply drained of love. Yeah. And Satan, he sits in a darkened room, writing hymns to be taught in our schools. For he knows that Christ has been slain by those with power. Are the silver-plated smiles of the senators seem misplaced amongst the starving millions who have been heard, and yet they remain? And justice, she claims a victory, but she is behind a padded cell. And the fattest of all the pigs feast alone at the trough of power. A soldier writes a sorrowful tune for his love that is waiting at home. But a folded flag is all he will have when finally he's dead and gone. And when history shows that he died for a lie, and worse, his blood was spilled in vain, there will be no remorse to ever echo through the halls of power.
So that was Sanji De Silva with The Halls of Power from the Insatiable Venalities podcast. Now we're briefly going to try and wrap our heads around the
goings on at ARU headquarters.
The complete shambles in ARU headquarters. They've sacked Gary Flowers because of the poor performance of the Waratahs.
Was he sacked or did
he resign? He was sacked.
Maybe we should be moving the Waratahs or the Reds down to the order.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it'll happen because of the way the ARU board structure is set up. But,
well, they're losing crowds, and you know those Melbourne lots, they love a game of rugby. Like these
more. They love a game. Look, there's an up between the Kiwis and South Africans living there, and the Queenslanders and New South Welshmen living there. You've got a pretty decent home game. but I think
it's just becoming beyond a joke. You can't expect the AAU to organise away a wet paper bag when they can't even decide,
chairman of the board
and what the structure is going to be.
Now let's just try and follow events. Gary Flowers, the chief executive, who has succeeded though in what no one has done in actually setting up a national club competition. They've been talking about it for 20 years. It's actually starting this season. So that's a pretty big...
I think we're all agreed that this is a fairly positive thing.
It was required. Year on year, everyone said it was needed. But in doing so, he has upset the all-powerful Sydney club. So he was told that his contract wasn't being renewed, and he said, well, I'd like to go through the World Cup, because that's the big payoff party thing at the end.
That's
right. And he's basically been told that if he tries to hang on, they'll have the armed men escort him out of his office. So he's fallen on his sword, and instead the very same wankers whose management of New South Wales and Queensland rugby...
Oh yeah, want to propose that they get a New South Wales rugby union member on the board.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because they're such brilliant bloody administrators, it's obvious in everything they do. They want a New South Welshman chairman of the board. There was so much fighting that everything got adjourned, and there's no chairman of the AAU board, there's no chief executive, there's no chairman.
You can get a wonder what the hell's going on. It's just like, you know,
in 3 weeks' time they're going to meet again, and hopefully they'll have sorted things out in advance
of
the meeting.
Well, you know, Queensland have put some new executives in, some board members. General Cosgrove,
who's fortunate that coming from outside of the rugby tribe and having a great deal of respect in the community, probably has the gravitas to just bang heads together and say, start behaving like adults.
Well, he's a big bloke as well.
He's a big bloke, good at presence, and more to the point, he can threaten to resign and make them all look really stupid unless they behave.
Well, it's probably a very strong move by Queensland Rugby Union to get him involved.
Yeah.
As their representative.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't end up chairman of the board in 3 weeks.
That would be interesting indeed, wouldn't it? Yeah. I think, and meanwhile, you know, the Force and Brumbies go about their business.
Yeah, the teams that actually are interested in playing rugby go about playing rugby, and the teams that are interested in politics play politics and not rugby.
We'll be interested to see how we go with this, and you know what the overall outcome is, whether you know, how much destabilisation is actually caused for the guys on the pitch.
I think the New South Wales Queensland gerrymander has to end at some point with a Melbourne club coming into the Australian Rugby Championship this year, and with Perth being a Super 14 team, the idea that there are 8 seats on the board and 3 each go to New South Wales and Queensland is just...
It's not going to end here.
It has to end. A good compromise would be to bring them down to 2 each, which still gives them the gerrymander, but at least it's no longer decisive because they'll never work together. Let's move on. What's the beer this week?
Beer this week is Bogue's Draft.
Excellent. What do you think of Bogue's Draft?
I think it's actually... It's going down really well tonight. I'm not so sure it's the day I've had, but...
it's a nice, well-rounded lager.
It is, actually. It's quite... malty. It's got a nice, you know, strength about it.
Yeah, everything's there. It tastes like beer. Tastes like a good beer, not a crappy beer. Yeah, not going to give you too many headaches this hour.
And, you know, $5 a bottle.
$3.75.
That's not too bad at all.
Yeah. I should say, with the background noise, we're recording tonight in All Bar None in O'Connor. We've kindly given us permission to do so.
And everyone else around us has been, you know, conveniently quiet.
Unlike Rob's bloody
friends. Attend to our interesting commentary.
Yes. Look, we need to get another song.
Yep.
What have we got?
We've got Sanji De Silva again. This one's Not In My Name.
We'll be back in a minute.
10 years you have ruled, and you'll do for 10 more. But whatever you've done, friend, where have you gone? Did you build any bridges for this country to cross? Or did you just burn the future to scatter like dust? And now it is time for your final hurrah. With both houses of the parliament now slave to your call. Yes, you'll change this here country, not a square foot the same. Yes, you'll do it all gladly, but not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. Yes, you'll change this here country, but not in my name. So the misdeeds of the past are now firmly entrenched. Each time we could have stood, yes, we sat on the fence. And as you look through the pages all littered with shame, yes, you turn your back on the past, but not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. Yes, you turn your back on the past, but not in my name. It's been 3 years now since we lost brothers and friends to a dirty war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Did you check that the feelings were all the same? When you turn your back on those children, not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. You turn your back on the past, but not in my name. 'Cause no death will be brought and no wars will be fought in my name. And our flags will be raised, no anger betrayed in my name. So speak for yourself, and not once in my name. But one day will come when your mortal coil loses its grip, and your fast talking words will done ever and trip. When your dirty box is lowered in iron chain, yes, I'll stand on your grave for once in our name. Not in my name, no, not in my name. Not in my name, friend, no, not in my name. 10 years you have ruled, but not in my name.
So that was Not In My Name by Sandra De Silva from the Insatiable Banalities podcast. Now, we're coming up to the week ahead. Hurricanes v Highlanders in Wellington. I really scratched my head about this. This is the bottom of the New Zealand table playing here just about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. Normally you used to expect the Chiefs down there somewhere.
But the Chiefs down there, no. So, I reckon the only reason I tipped the Hurricanes is because it's in Wellington.
Yeah, same. To be fair, I think the Hurricanes are play much better than the Highlanders. The Highlanders were all over the place. Great game last week.
Hurricanes have just been consistently mediocre.
Consistently mediocre. Whereas the Hurricanes are consistently mediocre, but just on a slightly higher plane.
Right.
I've got the Hurricanes as well. Tatina's coming out with the Highlanders, so I'm not... Well, we haven't known what she's been thinking all season, so...
No, she's all over the place this round as well.
I kind of wonder whether she's got a fancy coin.
Yeah.
She just tosses.
And the coins, is it still ahead of you?
No, I'm...
I'm
3 points clear of Katina just now.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Waratahs v Chiefs in Sydney. Again, I sort of... sucked my teeth and thought about this.
Look, there's heaps of close games.
Look, the Waratahs lost close to the Highlanders last week. The Chiefs are a much better team than the Highlanders. I don't see it even being close.
Actually, I do, actually. I think that the Waratahs, even a bit of a chance, probably
plus,
starting
we've
to
seen
get...
it all season. They have that really close loss and then they blow out again.
I know, but I think that, you know, they've finally got away from changing their combinations every week.
Mm.
Right, they've had 3 weeks now where they haven't changed their combinations.
Yeah.
This will be the third one.
Yeah.
Matt Dunning scrummaged really well last week.
Well, he won't do that 2 weeks in a row.
I think he probably will.
He barely does it 2 seasons in a row.
I think he probably will. And I think Rocky Awesome's second game in as captain, I don't think they'll change that again. And probably
gives him structure. He wants to be captain, and Fryer just doesn't want that position. So
no, but I actually think that, you know, in Sydney, they've got a bit of pride to play for. They could possibly upset Chiefs.
I think they'll implode again.
We'll
find out. We'll see. Do it on the pitch.
That's right.
Yeah, Katina's with me on the Chiefs, which is a little worrying. Now, moving on, Force v Cheetahs in Perth. We've got a clean board for the Force here.
Cheetahs have been self-destructing after a really good start to the season.
Yeah.
And the Force coming off now... two massive losses and another loss in...
Well, the close loss is an improvement.
Improvement against the Rumbies. And I think, for my money on the Force, back at home...
Cheetahs are flying further.
Yeah, I think the Force will probably take this one.
This is one of those that I could see the Cheetahs winning, but I just think balance of probability lies with the Force.
Probably one of the crackers of the round. It's going to be the Bulls Blues in Pretoria.
Yep, I looked long and hard at that, and I scratched my little head, and then I thought, no, the Blues are playing really badly, and the Bulls are playing really well.
Interesting what the money comes in on, actually, on that one, you know, whether it's any long odds.
Well, money depends on weight of betting, and with the Bulls supporters and the number of Auckland supporters...
It could be worse than money on the Blues there.
Maybe.
There's a lot more Bulls supporters.
No, not that many. Auckland's a big city. Pretoria's not that big. Pretoria's like Canberra sort of size.
Maybe.
But,
they're still going to get 50,000 people to
play. Yeah, well, they've got a much bigger hinterland, all right?
But no, this one's really... I think this one's going to be really close. The Blues, they probably surrendered the home final, should they go through, but they're still playing for home semi, and they'll definitely want a home semi.
Let's consider, though, that the Blues, having had two unexpected losses in a row, if they shouldn't fail to win the rest of the season... could actually be bundled out.
Yeah, it could be.
Of the entire
final. That could be. And one of those teams that could bundle them out is the Bulls.
Yep.
So, really, really close game. I'm going to go with the Blues. I think they're going to get it together this week against the resurgent Bulls.
Yep.
I think Katina's with me.
Yeah, I think we've got a sweep to the Blues. I took the Bulls.
The Bulls
are
home.
What am I saying? Yeah, Bulls. Duh. Sorry, they both wear blue.
But should be a cracker.
Bulls are playing too well. Blues are playing crap and they're touring badly, and the teams in play, their supporters lashing his players in public.
Those are all on Friday night, so that's going to be interesting. Saturday, Brumbies v Crusaders in Canberra.
Oh, I have to think long and hard about this.
Yeah, Crusaders on fire.
Crusaders are on fire.
Brumbies are one of the few teams that could probably upset them.
Brumbies at home, and I thought the Brumbies were pulling their punches against the Force, and I think the A game's got to come out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they've got enough to contest the lighter Crusaders pack and dominate them there.
And the Brumbies
are
really
have the back line, probably have the back line continuity.
Yeah,
to,
especially with Mormont back,
the old firm together. Probably have enough to contain the Crusaders, rampant back line.
Yeah, and it's a very rare day.
Shut them down.
It's a very rare day when the Brumbies can look forward to dominating anyone's forward pack, and I think they actually can do it.
The other thing, Brumbies' best defensive record in the competition. Yeah.
The it's just the try scoring that's been letting us down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not the best offense, but the best defense.
So we got the immovable object up against the unstoppable force at Bruce Stadium.
Yeah, we'll see.
Friday night.
Tip the home team in that situation. Katina's with the Crusaders.
Yeah, so I'm going to have words with her about that.
Yeah, now that she's not living in Canberra, she can safely tip against us.
Yeah, well, Kiama's not playing.
Okay. Kiama would lose to either of those two teams.
Probably. Scott Favors from Kiama. Yes, he is. Now, Sharks v Lions in Durban.
Sharks going home.
Long way home, though, coming off a loss. I thought about it, and then I said Sharks.
Yeah, same. Sharks at home.
Yeah.
Katina's with us on this one.
That's a worry for everyone.
She's not that far behind.
No, she's not. No, the coin has done quite well. Lastly, Stormers v Reds in Cape Town.
Yeah, look, I've got to go with the Stormers here. Even with the Reds pulling off a win, they lost Hugh McMenamin again.
He's a tampon, isn't he?
He's
in for one week of the month.
He breaks worse than Daniel Heenan.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, great player when he's on the pitch, but you've got to get him there first.
Heenan fell over in pre-season training. It's just been out.
It's general, and McMillan's the same. I can't see the Reds pulling this one off, travelling to Cape Town.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, as we said, Stormers don't win two on the trot.
No.
And so it had to be balanced against the Reds' ability to lose games. And they had a win last week, which really disturbed them.
They won't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I had to remember the words of the victory song. So I had to run and drag that down off the internet. But
Eddie would have been going, what are you all singing about? Oh, cool, we won.
But Stormers are a team capable of winning against a quality opposition. The Reds are patently not.
That's
in Cape Town.
Yeah, like, you've got to go with the Stormers. And we've all gone with the Stormers this week. And I suspect our two absent comrades will probably tip the Stormers.
If they ever get their tips in. Okay, then. That's us done for the night. Thank you for listening through to the end of it. Thank you to All By None for having us. And we'll talk to you all next week.
That's right.